Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As a reminder for those of you who have been with us, and as an introduction if you are just joining, yesterday we read Genesis 2 verses 16 and 17 in our ongoing journey through Genesis chapter 2. We've come to quite a key point, especially verse 17. But before we get there, let's spend a little time discussing the meaning of verse 16. Let me read it. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16 says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely.'" And here we have an insight into who we are as men and women created by God. We have been given the capacity by God to receive communication from God. Here in verse 16, we learn that man has the possibility for understanding God. That means God spoke and man listened. Man heard what God said. God used some language to communicate to the man. There is hearing that speech and there is understanding to know what God means by what God says. God spoke to man here in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, and man could speak back to God. Man and woman have the capacity to speak to God. We can be in conversation with the Lord God. It's a two-way street kind of relationship. We talked about this. Man and woman has the capacity to understand God, and Adam now and later Eve definitely understand what God gives them here is a command. God is commanding, if you will. Let's look at the command, and I'll take it in two parts. Part one is here in verse 16. "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely." And the second part is in verse 17. "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat from it, you will surely die." Perhaps to us the first part seems positive and the second part negative. God seems so generous in verse 16 and so stingy in verse 17. Our tendency will be to love verse 16. Wow, eating freely of any tree in this whole garden? But our tendency will be to hate verse 17. Why cannot the man and woman eat of that one tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Some will even obsess over this question. Haven't you heard people ask, why did God even put that tree in the garden to begin with? This is a common question, really more of an accusation made against God that we hear from people who are skeptical of biblical Christianity. I have had this asked of me many times, and I would guess you have as well, assuming you share the good news of the gospel with others in your community and network of friendships in your family. Now, human beings do not like Genesis 2, verse 17. It is troublesome and bothers them a great deal. But okay, let's let that idea of these verses stand in our minds and in our hearts for now. And let's return to part one of the command. Here we learn that indeed God is good. From any tree of the garden you may eat freely. One theologian calls this a broad permission. A broad permission. I like that. Or another writer calls this an abundant provision. Let's put these together. In Genesis 2:16, God begins his command with a broad permission and an abundant provision. If you want to write that down, here it is again. In Genesis 2:16, God begins his command with a broad permission and an abundant provision. Again, let's reference Genesis chapter 1. We have not studied it in depth, but we do keep referencing it. And in Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28, God creates man and woman, and listen to what God says in verse 29. I am reading Genesis 1, verse 29. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. There again is that generosity of God. Calvin calls this the Lord God's liberality, profusion, and variety. A great trio of words to describe how wonderful God has been to man and woman. Eat. You will have everything you need. Broad permission and abundant provision. As far as the eye can see, there are plants and trees bearing fruit. The whole earth is full of them. And these human beings are free to eat from them all. Often when I go into today's grocery stores, I become overwhelmed with all the choices. Here in America, we have large amounts of shelves and square footage set aside only for cookies, or separately for crackers. We have another whole aisle for soup, and still a separate mile-long aisle for candy, and so on and so forth. The other day, I was in a store out here, and a box of Triscuits caught my eye. Do you like Triscuits? I do. I know it sounds like a dog's treat, but these are made for humans. Well, it's not as easy picking out a box. The flavors. My goodness, I counted five, and all five came in various sizes. There was original. I bought that. Cheddar. Fire roasted tomato. And olive oil, avocado, cilantro, and lime. And roasted garlic. I am standing in the aisle looking up at all these Triscuits, wondering if this is how Adam felt when he stood in the garden and looked across all the trees and varieties of fruit, and then he walked down the plant aisle. Of course, it's a broken analogy. Adam and Eve, everything they ate was perfect and healthy. Triscuits? There's nothing healthy about them, despite what the box claims. They'll kill me. And I will not tell you what happened when I went down the ice cream aisle. What else was in my cart at the checkout? Oh, by the way, next time I need a bigger box of Triscuits. Half the box is air. Whereas in the garden in Eden, they never ran out of plants and fruit of the trees to eat. It's all free. It did not cost a thing. God is good. God is generous. From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, no restrictions, broad permission, and abundant provision. For man and woman, God has identified what is good for them. God decides what is good for them to eat, and God launches his command by telling man, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. That's part one. And now we come to part two. God continues by identifying one restriction. The Lord God is clear, upfront, honest. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. It is good for man and woman to eat from all of the trees in the garden, but it is not good if they should choose to eat from this one tree. God knows what is good and what is not good, and so God says something more. Capture this. For in the day you eat from it, you will surely die. Whoa, we need to stop. Death? What is this? The garden in Eden is perfect. God has created man and woman. Genesis 1:27. Remember that in Genesis 2:7, we studied the details of this. Genesis 2 verse 7 reads, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The breath of life. Man is a living being. But here in Genesis 2:17, God speaks the word death into existence. God flat out tells the man there will be a consequence should he choose to eat from this one tree. The consequence is death. Apparently, living in the garden is contingent upon not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If Adam wants to continue to have life and to live in the garden and enjoy it, then Adam and later Eve must obey God's command. And so that we can solidify this point in our minds, I want to bring in a cross-reference here. I want to show you that God is consistent in his commands. The Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, demonstrates the consistency of God as he joins together living in a good land with keeping his commandments. If we want to live in the land he has provided for us, then we need to live in obedience to him. We need to be who he wants us to be. We need to do what he wants us to do, to think how he wants us to think, and so on and so forth. To do what I want to do within my time limit, I need to ask you a favor. Would you be willing to read another Old Testament text tonight or sometime before we meet together tomorrow? If you'll get out your Bible and read Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, and then immediately read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, you will see certain similarities. We will discuss these similarities tomorrow. Let me give you the texts again slowly so that you can jot these down or memorize them. Read together Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. That's Genesis 2, 16 and 17, and Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. As you do this little, friendly assignment, think about living in a good land with keeping the commands of God. See what similarities you can pick out of the Bible passages. The Word of God stands ready to both be read and studied by you. Do not leave this all up to me. I encourage you to always test what I am saying against the Bible itself. And in order to do that, you need to read it. I have not given you an assignment recently, but here now is one, and I hope you will choose to accept it. Genesis 2, 16 and 17, with Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. I hope that you will do this, and that we will meet right back here again tomorrow, for God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.